Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to go to our first scripture this morning, the Word of God. When we read the Bible, we are reading God's word, which we honor and say is above our thinking. It's above everything. It's living. It's powerful. It's active. It's able to do everything that it's sent to do. It is the very life of God. Are you ready to receive God's life as we read His word? In fact, we're all going to read it out. I don't mind what translation you've got. We're going to read verse 1 to 3 loud over our own hearts and spirits this morning. Are you ready? Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. I'll do just one translation now. Since then, you were raised with Christ. That's amazing. That's something that has already taken place. You were raised with Christ. Now set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of the Father. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died. I don't think many of us really catch the revelation in that. But to actually know that you, the old sinner, the old unacceptable sinner, the one who was dominated by Satan, the world, the lusts of the flesh, you died. And now your life is now hidden in Christ with God. And so you are hidden in Christ. So that means His identity, who He is, His identity has become your identity. And now, the Word of God tells us to set our hearts on things above. So we're to set our kind of intentions, our goals, our aspirations on heavenly things. Not on the things of this life, not on the things and the goals of the world. We're to have God's mind or thoughts. And to have a heavenly mindset actually makes us ready to bring heaven into the earth. So when our thoughts are adjusted to higher things, God's thoughts, God's word, God's truth, then we, as we set our minds on those things, are constantly communing with God and His truth. As soon as you and I crash down to the lower way of thinking, we actually commune with powerless things. But when we set our hearts and minds on things above, we begin to be unified in heart and mind with God. We are already in spirit. We're already in Christ. But that union, that active relationship takes place. And so right here, right now, God's saying, I want you to be adjusted in your heart and mind continuously to heaven. For you to actually fix your thoughts. In other words, take command of your thought life and set it on things above, not on earthly things. Now, last week we had our first part in the series about eagles. And eagles were born in a high place. You remember, an eagle's nest is high up on a mountain in a rock. And when an eagle starts out its life, it's born high in that nest above all enemies and in a safe place. And when you are born again as a Christian, you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become a new person and you're born not of the earth, but of heaven, of God Himself. And you become a child of God. And as the eagle is in a high place, safe, We are also in a high place in Christ, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The eagle's called the King of the Sky. And we are to be kings under the King of Kings. We're to reign in life in Christ. God has put us in this place of victory so we can live out a life of victory. He has given us his victory so we can see it come to pass through our everyday life and circumstances. Now, can I have the first picture? Because there we see the eagle soaring above in the heavenlies, in the high places. And last week, we were seeing how we are called to wait on the Lord, to receive from his word, his presence, to renew our strength, so that we can actually be in a place where we're catching the thermals or the currents of the Holy Spirit to lift us up even higher, to mount up on wings like eagles. If you weren't here last week, I recommend you download the message because it will help you to understand how God compares you to an eagle. But today, we're going to be talking about how an eagle is actually equipped to overcome storms and trouble. It actually is equipped, it's inherent in its creation to do well and even sometimes to thrive in a storm or in trouble. This king of the sky remains unaffected by all the turbulence that goes on that other creatures actually endure and have to try and get through. He actually has the ability to soar higher and to overcome them. So how do we deal with troubles and storms? In the same way, God wants us to see ourselves through the eyes of truth, which is this higher life, this place in Christ above all where we're created to live. You haven't been born to live harassed and pushed around by life. You've been born again to overcome and not run. Eagles are overcomers, not runners. They actually endure and overcome very adverse circumstances. Jesus actually, and of course he is the perfect example for a Christian, because he is the Son of God, but he is the perfect example for a person on earth. We're to follow his example. He showed us how to live unaffected by the conditions that surrounded him. He was often in trouble with people. There are often situations that actually pushed and sought to try to push him around. But you see, in Jesus, he stayed in peace, he stayed in control, and he actually won every battle according to God's will. He was never pushed around by what the devil was doing or even by what men wanted him to do, people wanted him to do. He remained true to his course. And God wants us to live in peace. He wants us to be in control in terms of being in his will and not pushed around by the devil, not pushed around by people's opinions and desires to take us off track. So let's read Matthew 22, first of all. And we're going to compare, first of all, ourselves with Jesus. And then we're going to look at how the eagle overcomes. Matthew 22, verse 15. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know you're a man of integrity. You teach the way of God in accordance with truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, Now that's important. Jesus knew that they had an evil intent against him. He said, "You hypocrites." Now, this is the real Jesus. He doesn't say, "Well, bless you anyway for trying to get me in a trap." He comes out with this statement, "You are a hypocrite." This is the King of Love. But he is also not going to come under what man is trying to do. He's full of love and grace, but he is also full of truth. He's not a sissy. Sorry, do you know what I mean? He's not like weak and spineless. So these guys have come to trap him. And Jesus answered, you know, it's such a wonderful answer, full of wisdom. "Well, show me a coin. Whose head's on it? Caesar's." So he says, "Render or give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God." In other words, he answered both the religious and the law. So he said, obey the law of the land and obey God. First of all, obey God in all things. But he answered absolutely brilliantly. Now, this means that Jesus suffered trouble through religious people. People came against him to try and trap him. These are his words, not mine. And Jesus knew in his heart their evil intent. So he discerned the motive behind the questions. There have been times where people have been questioning me, and I know that their motive is to trap me and to get me to do what they wanted. Jesus, at one time, he was out reaching the lost, sitting with sinners and eating with them. And the critics came, the Pharisees, the religious people came and said, "Why are you doing what you're doing?" They even criticized him reaching the lost. And they wanted Jesus all the time to come into their plan for him. Now, we must be aware in our walk with God that not only the devil, but people want to pull us out into their plan for us. And these people have sometimes, not always, but sometimes an evil intent to trap us in their words. But Jesus stayed in control. He didn't react in the flesh. He spoke the truth when it was necessary. Other times, he just walked away from people. Have you ever done that? I've definitely had to do that sometimes. I know when people have come in and tried to criticize and attack what we do as a church and say, "Why don't you do what we do?" Sometimes I just zip it and walk. You know, sometimes it's right to zip it, to say absolutely nothing, and walk away. Other times, it may be right, and this is where you need to have the wisdom of God, to say what is true, and not to back down on what God has called us to do. So Jesus was always being hounded by religious people. And I believe that if you are the true kind of Christian, free in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, winning the lost, doing the will of God, that there will be religious people who will try and stop you doing what you're doing, who will criticize the gifts of the Spirit, criticize the meeting with God and the worship in spirit, the gift of tongues, will come against the life and activity of the Holy Spirit. And this is where we are not to bow to the will of man, but to always stay yielded to the word and the will of God. God is the governing authority of our lives as his church, and we are to surrender to him in love and obedience to him. Now, I know that the storms or the trouble that can come into our lives also come through people who don't know Jesus. They can criticize us, speak negatively against us. And The eagle also has smaller birds that come out to attack him. It's interesting. Often they're crows, but see, on their own, they cannot get an eagle. So they try and gang up together. And this is what the Herodians and the Pharisees were doing. They didn't agree normally, but they got together against Jesus. And we see eagles are often, when they're slightly flying a bit lower, maybe coming down for a bit of prey, a bit of food, crows will gang up together against eagles. And what they do is they want to harass the eagle, make life kind of frustrating for him, or they want to steal his food. So they're out to get his stuff, and they're also out to make life a bit of a difficult thing to go through. This is the next picture of an eagle being harassed by crows. So they can't do it on their own, but they gang up together against the eagle. Now, the crow in the bird world is one of the dirtiest birds there is. And this is symbolic because a dirty bird in the church or in the world is somebody who is always critical, always negative, always slightly undermining what you're doing and what you believe in. And these dirty birds come in and they try and bring you down to their level with negative speaking. Whole churches can come under the influence of dirty birds. Crows, those who squawk away and actually just want to be negative and pull people down. Some marriages are almost impossible to fly in and soar on wings like eagles because you might be living with a crow who always has a negative something to say. So it might be somebody in your family that can be crow-like and have words that pull you down, and it's really hard to soar with eagles when you're surrounded by turkeys. But this is really what Jesus faced, the pressure of people coming round to try and get the King of all kings down and to bring him into another plan, to bring him into something negative and even to react in the flesh. And we know Jesus never sinned. So he never reacted like you and I maybe sometimes do. And that's the problem when you're with crows, the kinds of people who are argumentative, come on, always asking you questions, but you know underneath is something fairly negative. The problem with these people is that they can draw you into the wrong kind of way of fighting. And you start to fight according to their rules, which is you start to argue back. You start to say things and then get into a heated place because your emotions start to go. And then you really get out of the will of God because you're sinning with your mouth. You start to be critical like them. The eagle can actually start to squawk like a crow, can't he, in the spirit realm. And we're not called to have unwholesome words come out of our mouths. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt or no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. Only what is useful for building up and edifying one another. And so if you're going to live where the eagles do, your speaking has to be to build up and edify others. Well, the words that come out of your mouth, you must not be drawn into a criticism and a gossip lifestyle. A gossip and a critical person will always kind of start sounding like they are positive about you, your kind of calling God, us as a church. But after a little while, they'll begin to say, yes, but don't you think? And those little side issues, yes, but why aren't they doing this? And underneath is the wrong heart, the wrong motive to pull down, and to be critical. And so as Jesus stayed connected to God and his will, we must be careful not to come down with the crows and not to allow our mouths to talk us down. You know, in the mouth, with your mouth is the power of life. You speak either life or death. Blessing or curse, it's your choice. And we are called to speak and release blessing, not curse over people. Now the eagle's answer for me is absolutely wonderful. So he's got this host of crows around him, trying to harass, trying to steal his stuff. All the eagle does is climb. He goes higher. Because he knows the crows will eventually drop off, because the crows can't go where the eagle goes. And so where you go in Christ, Psalm 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my fortress, my rock, my God, in him who I trust. David often says these people are always out to get me. They're out to bring me down. They're harassing me. They want me to fall. He said, but my soul finds rest in God alone. He is my salvation, my mighty rock. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for he is your refuge. People will always be around that want to bring you down. They might even gang up at work against you. They might even take out false lies and speak things against you. But you know what? You can climb. You can go to God, to your refuge place of peace, and find that the crows will drop off because you can go higher in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I believe that your relationship with God is the primary relationship. And so when people attack you and their words are negative against you, you will develop your relationship with God if you don't talk about it with your friends. But you go to God and go and say, Lord, I'm just coming to you. I'm going to start to pray. Father, first of all, you've got to forgive them, because there's no way you can be free from the crows to fly up. It's like having lead on your feet. If you have a unforgiveness towards those who've been attacking you or negative, you stay down. But forgiveness, you can fly up. And I believe that your relationship with God, you just pour out your heart to him and say, Father, you know, obviously I must be doing something right because people are out to get me. I just want to surrender to you to come into that safe place where you are my hiding place, where I'm hidden in Christ, where I set my mind and my heart on things above, where Christ is. And God himself will strengthen you. He will heal you. He will speak encouragement to you. He will restore your soul. There's always a place for us to go when we are being surrounded by people who harass us. It's tormenting people or spirits. One of the things that clearly happened to Paul in his ministry wasn't always just religious people. In Acts 16, we read about when he's on mission in Philippi, and he was kind of being harassed by a girl who was actually proclaiming that Paul, out loud, here's the servant of the Most High God. And actually she had another spirit. She had a spirit of divination. And Paul ignored her for quite a few days. And he didn't attack her. He didn't speak against her. He just kind of carried on, but it got worse and worse. And sometimes, you know, you don't know quite what's going on. You don't know why this person is being so much of a hassle. But Paul, he discerned by the Spirit and realized that it was a demon operating through that girl. And so all he did was turn around once he'd had enough, and it kind of got to the point in his spirit. He turned around and he said, in the name of Jesus, I command, come out of her. That girl was set free. So it was a spirit causing problems in that situation. So we need the wisdom of God, don't we, to deal with these situations that come against us. But God wants you to live in peace. He doesn't want you to be surrounded by kind of the stress of the crows. He wants you to soar. He wants you to rise up and come higher and come to a place of safety and of peace. On Wednesday night, we had an encounter night, and we were going through Psalm 91. And it's when the first verse says, he who dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. I didn't get much further than that. I kind of stayed on that for 20 minutes. The shadow of the Almighty. I'm kind of in the Almighty. So actually, I don't need any power of my own. He is my power. Isn't that brilliant? And so we must run to him and start to come up into the heavenly things, into the truth of who we are in Christ and how God loves us and how he accepts us, how he forgives us. And if we're drawn into arguments, ask forgiveness. Don't just say you weren't wrong. Say, Lord, I repent. I shouldn't have acted in the flesh. I shouldn't have responded wrong. You see, you can't be an eagle living relationally like a crow. You're not created to be like a dirty bird. Created to live life in the spirit, not in the flesh. And so deal with relational things. Don't let those things trap you. Because you can be an eagle, but stay low level living. Because you're never free from what's going on around you. Live in freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Don't be tied down or bound up by relationships that actually are negative and critical. And another thing that I genuinely do, if I see a negative person and I've got to minister to them, I do. Because I'm a pastor, it's my ministry. But I definitely don't make them my friend. Because I don't spend my life with crows. I spend my life with people who want to soar. I spend my life with eagles, those who want to live up here. Because they're the ones that are going to encourage me to live up my life and my call. So your friends, make sure your friends want to be eagles. And live up into that in that place in Christ. Because your friends have such a major influence on your decisions and on your heart and your emotions. And so that's why church life is so important for Christians. To be part of a positive faith people who wanting to soar and live the life in Christ and not live down here on another level. So watch your friends, watch your mouth, and watch the other crows. And come up higher. And the second point I want to speak about is storms. So the first was trouble through people, and now let's just look at storms. What does an eagle do in a storm? Because an eagle has the vantage point of being high up, he actually sees storms coming. That already is a thing that God wants for us. When we're a people of prayer, we're a people of relationship with God, we know when a storm's coming. We can see spiritually. In the year 2000, it was prophesied, and I know I brought it here, I spoke that word here, that there were going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. So basically, the Spirit said, there's a storm coming. God knew all about it. You do know that God knows the end from the beginning. And so basically we needed to prepare ourselves for the season of famine. How to live in famine, how to endure and how to overcome and survive and actually thrive. Do you know a Christian can thrive in famine? Because the earth is not our provider, God is. The things of the economy don't provide. We're not subject to the storms in the economy. We're subject to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Jesus. And so we do well to heed what the Spirit says about storms that come, so that we're prepared for them and ready. That's why you are called to know the things that are to come, to have a relationship with God, not just His Word, but the Holy Spirit, so that you know that what you're led into, God is actually leading you. He is showing you the way to go. And when you know the way, you can see ahead of time. You know, the gift of the Holy Spirit is so important to us. He is the third person of God. He lives in us to lead us and to bring us sight and to speak in dreams and visions. I wasn't going to say this, but just in terms of seeing what's coming, the week before the last gospel meeting, Pastor Andrea and I really decided to dig in prayer in a different way. We always pray. But we hadn't seen many come to Christ in the gospel message meetings. We'd seen quite a few, but not as many as we want. And there's a whole lot more to come. And so we were praying, and it was like when you start to pray and you set your mind on things above, you start to leave the consciousness of the earth and you start to see spiritually. And if you don't pray, you will never experience the life in the Spirit. People who don't pray are kind of spiritually unable to lift, get off the ground. It's like, whoa, they're just trying to, like an eagle, trying to get off without any uplift at all. But we were praying, we were in the Spirit, and God gave us both a vision. But the vision that I had was I was with Jesus in heavenly places, and it was a bit unusual for me. I haven't had a vision like this before. And I was with Him in heavenly places, and I saw, we were walking through these fields, and there were these flowers. I'm telling you, the colors were like I've never seen. Apparently, heaven's colors are phenomenal. People have said that before, but I saw these daisies, and they were like, and they were much bigger than the daisies that are here. They were like up here, the size, you know, up to my, beyond my knee. And I was walking, obviously in heavenly places with the Lord. Because that's, you know, it's where we live. It's true as our position. But we just got to get adjusted to where we are. And prayer adjusts you to where you are. Worship does. When we worship the Lord, it brings our minds and hearts into line with who we are really with. And so we were walking through these fields. And quite happy, very, I mean, all I can remember was feelings of incredible joy. And it was kind of like I was walking along, and then suddenly there was this absolute dead end, like this platform end. There was no steps down. It was just a sheer drop down. And Jesus said to me, "What do you see?" And so I was looking down, and this is all happening whilst we're praying together. I was looking down, and I said, "Lord, I see absolute destruction. I see like there was an atomic bomb where all life had gone, the trees were burnt, and there were all these bodies dead in this whole valley was absolutely full of dead bodies." And the Lord said, "This is this generation falling into hell." And He said, "If you don't stop them, that is where they are going." And I was so moved, I was just full of compassion for these people. And I said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And He said, "I want you to prophesy. Say, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' I want you to speak my word and call my Holy Spirit to come and breathe on these slain, that they may live. And so we were partnering with the Spirit and praying this. Now, what's unusual? Well, we saw unusual fruit that Sunday. Praise God for those of you who are here today because of what God is doing amongst us in bringing the dead to life and stopping people from going to eternal destruction. Praise God for one life saved. Just one. It's worth it. Then Wendy tells me she brought a gentleman to the gospel meeting who'd had a dream that week that he was about to walk off into a dead end cliff to drop into nothing, into blackness. And he was an old gentleman and he'd had exactly the same vision, the old dream that I'd had in prayer. And basically God was saying, it's time to pull people back from hell and from everlasting destruction. But you see, there is a storm coming, and an eagle lives with that perspective. A Christian should live with that perspective. So when you're talking to the lost, you have to say there's a storm coming, guys. I see it, but you don't. Because chickens who are on the ground, you know what chickens don't see? They don't see nothing. They're just, because they're earthbound, they can't see, they don't know God. So they're peck, peck. Apparently you liked that last week. Peck, they're just pecking away. They don't know if there's a fox there. They don't know if rain's coming. They know nothing. But we know. And we're here to bring people out of darkness and out of the plan of the devil and into the plan of God. And so an eagle has this ability to see in the spirit just as you do. Your new man has the ability to see Jesus and to see things in the spirit, to live by dreams and visions. Everyone who is born again this morning here in this room has the ability to see in the spirit. And God is able to give you visions and dreams for your own life, for your family, for your job, for the people you're working with, for your ministry to the lost. It's brilliant. So an eagle, when he sees a storm coming, the other birds panic and run for cover. Now, if you've ever been in another nation, I don't mean a storm in England. It's boring. A storm in England is not as much fun as Africa. That's where I was born. Africa was fun. As a child growing up in Africa, when a storm hit, I mean, I'm talking raindrops that size. It was fantastic. Lightning cutting across the skies, all different forms of lightning. It was like a light show. The thunder would be so loud, it was almost deafening. So we're talking about a storm, that kind of level of storm. And when that level of storm happens, all the other bird creatures, they're not animals, go scurrying away, flapping away to try and find a bit of safety, protection. But the eagle does not flap. That's one thing about an eagle. It doesn't flap. Do you know why we don't flap? God is here. And if God be for us, who can be against us? We are born to win. No weapon formed against me will prosper. No matter what storm, it's not going to beat me. Because I'm in Christ and He enables me to soar. So the other birds try and get into a place of safety. And, you know, Satan does send storms. If you're a new believer, you've just come to Jesus, the devil will be trying to put you off your new faith. He will try and stop you from doing the things that will build your faith, like praying. He'll discourage you, make you feel no good, useless. He'll make you think like you've got so far to go, you can't do it. But Jesus says you can. Because He is with you, and you're a winner already. Born to win. Satan sends storms to relationships, families, churches, nations, because Satan is the destroyer. He's actually out to kill, steal, and destroy. He is actively at work every day to kill, steal, and destroy. He never gives up his ministry. And it's not a good ministry. And the Bible says the whole world is under the sway or the influence of the devil. Apart from us. Because we've been set free, taken out of darkness, and put into the kingdom of light. We're not under the sway of the devil, we're in Christ, seated in heavenly places. Thank you, Jesus. Sorry, I got excited. It's a bit exciting being saved. So the eagle, a storm's coming, what does he do? He actually heads for it. It's like David with Goliath. Right, who is this? Let's get him. Doesn't run, he heads for it. Challenges in life, the storms in life, don't run. Don't run, head for them, trusting God. Saying it's okay, you come against me, you're coming against the Lord, and I know who's going to win. Thank you, Jesus. So what does the eagle do? Now this is even more exciting because he doesn't put much effort into it. So there he is, flying, and it hits the storm, and he just tilts his wings a little bit. Just adjusts them slightly. So that he can actually use the power of the storm to go higher. Isn't that amazing? Now, this using the storm to your advantage ministries that we have is to actually say that you have wings. Now, that means you have a choice to use what God has given you. And as you go into trouble, as you go into a storm sent by the enemy, whatever, you're to make a slight adjustment to the way you're flying. Now, the wings that you have, let's call one wing prayer and the other praise. Okay? So, if one wing's prayer, the other one's praise, it's using that slight tilt and increasing your prayer and praise will actually get you higher. Can we have the next slide? Here he is, flying above the storms. He's above the problem, above, away from the turmoil, and in peace and in control. Now, let's turn to Thessalonians. Thank you, Jesus. It's time to tilt our wings. Time to tilt. Say to your neighbor, it's time to tilt. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5, and you know I'm going there. If you know the scriptures, you'll know that this is what's coming. Because this is the tilt answer to soaring, to going higher, to using the storms to your advantage. Verse 16, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So, God's will in every time, not just in storms, is this. But if I'm in a storm, if I'm facing turbulence or trouble, whether it's financial, whether it's the pressure of a situation I can't work out, I start to just tilt. And I put a little bit more kind of vocal volume effort into praise. So I start to praise God much more extravagantly. Because I know that vocalizing praise means that God inhabits the praises of his people. That means it brings God on the scene. You could say that Paul and Silas, when they were locked up in prison, were in a little bit of trouble. They began to pray and praise God, and it brought God on the scene. You see, your feeling bad about storms and emotional responses to what's going on will not help you. Your panic button, it won't help you. What will help you is if you do God's word. If you start to apply what God says to do, you will come into a place above the storm and in control and in peace. Be joyful always. In other words, up your praise. Pray continuously. When you pray, invite God to come and bring the kingdom of heaven, the power of heaven into that situation. And give thanks in all circumstances. Start to give thanks. See, when we're in a storm, we start to give comments. We start to give analysis. We start to give moaning. And before I came in this morning, I had a vision of eagles trapped, caught, unable to fly. And the Lord said to me, all my people can live up here, but because they're not doing what I say to do, they're staying down there. And he's wanting every person here today to be up higher in the Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit to be in a place of freedom and happy and in control. And this is the recipe, guys. Turn up the volume, vocalize. I think the worst thing that can happen to a new believer is to stop opening your mouth and start to be silent in praise. The enemy works hard to stop you vocalizing. You might even think truth, but vocalizing it deals with the enemy. It actually binds the enemy. Scripture say in Psalm 149, you can actually deal with the enemy just by praising God. You can have a breakthrough just by praising God. You can see God's power come in and the devil defeated just through praise. And when your mouth is closed and your emotions are suffering and you're responding to what you're feeling, not to what you're believing, then you won't get out with power. We're to respond to what we believe. We believe praise is powerful. We believe that giving thanks to God actually creates a positive environment. When storms and trouble come and people hurt us, and we get into kind of, people have criticized us or whatever, and our emotions are affected. God loves your emotions. He loves every part of you. But he doesn't actually pander to your emotions. He heals them by you doing his word. Obeying what God says to do, he gets you healed. So somebody who is depressed can be healed by giving thanks. You can be healed emotionally by giving thanks. But the power only starts to flow through your life. The power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, he who believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within him. That's speaking of the Holy Spirit flowing out. That's speaking of God's life and power flowing through our soul and out of our mouths. Doesn't happen when, like a tap, you shut your mouth and stop the flow. You've got to start the flow of the Holy Spirit. And part of that is really giving thanks, praising, and praying. I want you to know what it is to praise the Lord loud. I think we've gone a bit quiet. This morning we were particularly quiet. And I believe in high praise. I believe it, number one, is the will of God for us. Because it says in the word, praise the Lord with a loud voice. Do you know what loud is? Well, it's not quiet. Praise the Lord with a loud voice. Let everything that has breath, how many have breath here? Praise the Lord. Give thanks requires a little bit of air from your lungs and something to come out of your mouth, positive. And if you start to give thanks, it's like you release the power of God to heal your emotions. You can be feeling rubbish one minute and absolutely full of joy the next. And, you know, as a church, we are called to radical praise. And we're called to lose sight of our earthbound bodies and soar in the spirit and come up into the spiritual realm where all the activity of God is. God isn't working like with earthbound stuff. He works in Christ. He works in the spirit, which is where the life and power is. Which is why he says if you're never going to get off the ground if you don't be joyful always, pray, and give thanks. And as soon as you do that, you'll just get off the ground and then the Holy Spirit will just be like an elevator. And you'll experience the freedom of God in your life. Don't be silent. You can bind up the enemy through praise and thanksgiving. This last week, we were boasting about the Lord and just boasting about who he is and what he is doing. And my goodness me, once we got going, it was like I could have run around the house. I was so energized. You know, some of you are so lethargic because you're not praising God. The energy comes from the Holy Spirit and doing what God says. It doesn't say, if you want to be joyful, try it. Pray occasionally and give thanks only when it's going good. That is the chicken Christian's interpretation. But the eagles say, I will rejoice even if it's not looking good. I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will pray without ceasing, and I will say, Father, as it is in heaven, let it be done. Let your kingdom come. Let the rule of God come. And I will tilt my wings and begin to give thanks and make my boast in the Lord, because there's so much to be thankful for. We're not going to hell. We're loved. We're holy. We have an anointing from the Holy One. There are so many good things, like every good promise. God is not a promise breaker. He's a promise keeper. Let's give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Amen. But this is your life of victory, not just Sundays. Sundays we're supposed to encourage one another, not sleep and let the band do it. We are the praising people. The worship team is all of us. The praising team is all of us. The victory team is all of us. And you can praise your way out of sickness. You can praise your way out of an impossible situation. Everything God says to do, he says it for our benefit, actually. Because he's a loving heavenly Father. And he knows what works. So don't live like a chicken. Don't come down with the crows. When you're facing trouble in a storm, tilt your wings and up your game. Come on, give thanks. Let's stand.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186, or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.